Okay, we'll be reading from Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 to 8, which can be found on page 73 in the church Bibles. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt, in the desert the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them,
"If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. You have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death."
Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites,
"In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?"
Moses also said,
"You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening, and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord."
And then on to Exodus chapter 17, verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, travelling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarrelled with Moses and said,
"Give us water to drink."
And Moses replied,
"Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?"
But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said,
"Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?"
Then Moses cried out to the Lord,
"What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me."
And the Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarrelled and because they tested the Lord, saying,
"Is the Lord among us or not?"
We're just going to think for a few moments about the passage that the 5 to 6 team read for us from Exodus chapters 15, 16 and 17. Now, this last term, we've been thinking about the amazing things that God has done and what an amazing God he is. We have seen that the people of Israel were in slavery and then God raised up a man called Moses. There's nothing special about him, but God used him to do amazing things. He was asked to go to speak to a really big, scary king called Pharaoh. And he went to see Pharaoh and said, "God says, let my people go." But Pharaoh said, what did he say? No. God said, "Let my people go." But Pharaoh said, no. But the thing is, God had promised to take his people into the promised land. He had promised to rescue his people. He had promised that he would care for his people. He had promised to look after them and to give them a very special home to live in. Imagine, someone who loves you very much, mum or dad or granny or grandpa, and they promise to take you on a very special summer holiday. I don't know if you enjoy your special summer holidays. Where are some really special holidays that you like to go? Have a quick shout out. Where do you like to go on holiday? Someone. Shout out. Yeah, shout out. Cornwall, amazing place to go. Beautiful. Anywhere else? Anglesey. The Gower, yeah, fantastic. We love to go to these places. We love to go to the Gower. Thanks, Barney. I love going to the Gower, the Three Cliffs Bay and Rossilly and the Worm's Head. Amazing. And we've had some fantastic holidays there. But if mums and dads or grannies and grandpas make a wonderful promise, "I'm going to take you on holiday to Anglesey or to Cornwall, to the Gower," they make an amazing promise. There are two questions that come to us from a promise like that. First question is, will they keep the promise? Second question, will we trust them to keep the promise? Will they keep the promise? and will we trust them to keep the promise? And the same is true in the Bible. Would God keep his promise to rescue the people of Israel, to be Israel's God, to look after Israel and take them to a special home? Would he keep the promise? And would Israel trust God to keep the promise? Well, last week we saw that God did keep his promise. Hooray, fantastic. Even though Pharaoh was a big, bad bully, had said, when God said, let my people go, he had said no. But God is more powerful than Pharaoh. He's more powerful than anyone or anything you can think of. And so God did something amazing. We saw this a couple of weeks ago. He sent 10 plagues on Egypt and finally Pharaoh let the people go. God had rescued the people from Egypt. Hooray, fantastic, fantastic news. But the journey wasn't finished. They still had a long way to travel to get to the promised land. And as we saw in the video, it meant approaching and crossing the Red Sea. Now imagine your family decided to take you somewhere really special. Who likes going to the beach? Show of hands if you like going to the beach. I think lots of us love favourite beaches out there. Where do people like to go on a beach? What lovely beaches do we enjoy? Shout out. Bower Fundle Bay, stunning beach in Pembrokeshire. Anywhere else? Rest Bay, lovely, not too far away from here. Anywhere else? So I know, loads of beautiful beach. Barry Island, no one loves Barry? Stunning beach. Close your eyes, enjoy the sand. That's the kind of thing about Barry, great. But imagine you got to the edge of the sea, right by the beach, right at the edge of the beach, but there's a huge load of water in front of you. And you're being chased by soldiers who are going to try and get you. And then something amazing happens. God says, hold out a staff. And so Moses has a stick, a big staff like this, and he holds it out. We saw the video from the Prince of Egypt. He puts it down, the sea parts. And you walk through on dry land with all your clothes on. Now, sometimes members of my family walk into the sea with all their clothes on. But this was like, you didn't get wet at all. Amazing. Amazing, amazing God. He provided for them. He looked after his people. So if you look on the screen, you see, here's the question. They've got to get out of Egypt into the promised land. Next slide, please. So they were in Egypt. They got out of Egypt. Hooray, praise God. He kept his promise. Out of Egypt, tick. Next thing, they had to cross over the Red Sea. So look on the next slide. They crossed over the Red Sea. Through the Red Sea, tick. So God is making promises. He's keeping promises. Next slide, please. The question is, will he get them into the promised land? Now, who knows where that is and how long that's going to take. But will he keep his promise? And will the people of Israel trust him to keep his promise? Now, we've already sung, God always keeps his promise. So we should know, and the people of Israel should have known, that God always keeps his promises. And imagine you've got to that place, you're going on holiday, mum and dad have taken you on a journey and they've got you to this large plot of large amount of water and you've got to cross the water. In fact, you're going into England, you're going over the bridge, but you've gone over the bridge. You're on your journey, you're going on your holidays. Now the question is, are we really going to get to our special destination? All we need to do is now finish the journey and drive and arrive in our lovely holiday home. And will our parents, our granny and grandpa, whoever's looking after us, will they take us where they promised? Well, that's the big question in Exodus chapter 15, 16 and 17 in our Bible passages. And the other question is, will Israel trust God? Look at the reading on the screen. We had this already, but this is Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. So here we are. Let me read it out. Israel set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin on the 15th day of the second month after they'd come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. We are going to see three things amazing about God's plan in our passage today. Three amazing things. Here's the first point, grumbling. Israel kept ignoring all that God had done, grumbling. I don't. Can we all say the word grumbling? But I want you to say it in a really kind of grumbling kind of way. Okay, one, two, three, grumbling. Like, that's what Israel were doing. They were grumbling. They kept ignoring all that God had done. It's day 45 since the people had left Egypt. And they go up to Moses and Aaron and they say, we want more food. We're not happy with the service we're getting here. Our tummies are rumbling. We're moaning, 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 moaning. Do you know what? It's even worse than that. That Bible reading we've just read is in chapter 16. They grumble and they moan in chapter 15 and in chapter 17. So three times In three passages, they grumble and they moan. So have a look on the screen, you'll see. So they say in chapter 16, verse 2, we're hungry. Moan, moan, moan. But before that, in chapter 15, next slide, verse 23, we're thirsty. Moan, moan, moan. And then chapter 17, verse 3, we're thirsty again. Moan, moan, moan. Constantly complaining, constantly grumbling. People sometimes say that grumbling is a British pastime. Because in Britain, we're really, really good at moaning and complaining and grumbling. But this is ridiculous by Israel. God has rescued the people of Israel through the Red Sea. He's rescued them from Egypt. And we're going to go on to see. He's going to provide for all they need. But they keep on grumbling and grumbling. And let's say after three, one, two, three, grumbling. In a moany way, really loud. One, two, three, grumbling. They're moaning. They're complaining. They're worried they're going to die in the desert. But do you know what? When we point our finger at someone else and tell them off for grumbling, do you know what's happening? Three fingers are pointing back at you. It's easy to complain about Israel for grumbling, but we do the same all the time. Imagine in that journey, you've left home to go on your holiday, a beautiful place. Maybe you're going down to Cornwall on holiday, stunning beaches down there. And you cross over the sea on the bridge, and then you start moaning to mum and dad or granny and grandpa because you've only got sandwiches in the car rather than stopping off for KFC. It's not good enough. Or we're only drinking bottled water which has come from our taps rather than Coca-Cola or apple juice. That's not good enough. I want better service, mum and dad, granny and grandpa. That's just ridiculous to grumble, grumble, grumble. Or as the puppet showed us earlier, Hubert complaining. I don't like the colour of my cast. I don't like the colour of the walls. I don't like the kind of pizza I'm being served. Do you know what? Sadly, actually quite a lot of the time, our doctors and nurses and people in the healthcare get a lot of grumbling to them, complaining about what they do. They do an amazing job, actually. I know lots of you work in healthcare. But so often we complain and grumble. It's not good enough, not good enough, not good enough. But do you know what? When we complain to other people about what we're experiencing, actually, this is the case in the Bible passage, Moses says they're not grumbling against you, they're grumbling against God. It's not complaining against Moses, they're complaining about God and grumbling against him. And that's what they did in our passage today. So first point, grumbling. Israel kept ignoring all God had done. But how would you respond if you were God? Would you say, forget you, not interested in you, going to find some new people to rescue and love? No, God is amazing. He's such a kind God, which means our second point is grace. God kept giving Israel all they would need. Grace. So we want to say the word grace. This time, thumbs up, really smiley. Okay, one, two, three. Grace. Amazing. Now, the thing is, now we sometimes use the word grace here at church. We sing about amazing grace. What does grace mean? It's a very nice name for a girl. It's the kind of thing you say before eating your meal. We say grace, saying thank you to God. Actually, grace simply means it's a gift that God gives you that you don't deserve. That's what grace is, a gift God gives you that you don't deserve. And I'm telling you, the people of Israel did not deserve anything from God. They're just moaning, moaning, moaning. But look on the next slide. So in chapter 15, they complain, we're thirsty. But what does God do? He provides them with some sweet water to drink. He gets a bit of gets Moses to take a bit of wood and drop it in the water. And the water turns sweet and they drink it. And it's an amazingly kind thing that God does. Even though they're moaning, he provides for them. Then in chapter 16, they say, we're hungry. And what does God do? He says, look, here, have some manna and quail. What happens? It's extraordinary, this. So the people of Israel, they're complaining. They're really, really hungry. Tummies are rumbling. And God says, okay, wake up tomorrow morning and you're going to find stuff on the ground. So they go out in the morning and they find this weird bread-like substance on the ground. They say, what is this? And someone else goes out their house and they walk around and they pick something up on the floor and they say, what is this? And someone else picks up and says, what is this? And someone else says, what is this? What is this? What is this? What is this? And they keep saying, what is this? When they hold this food and start eating, this is quite tasty. What is this? What is this? The word, you know, in the Bible times, they didn't speak English. They wouldn't have said, what is this? They would have said the word manna, which is Hebrew for what is this? They just kept saying, what is this? What is this? But it was manna that God had provided for them. But not just manna, he gave them quail. Now, if you know what quail are, quail's basically like posh chicken. So ask people who are into Gordon Ramsay, they'll tell you all about quail or shop in Waitrose. But quail, just amazing meat that God provided for the people. What is this? It's manna, it's quail. Now, do you know what? God just constantly provides for us. If you're a parent, one of the hardest things to navigate on a Sunday morning is getting to church and then keeping your kids quiet through a whole service, especially when it's a family service and there's no Sunday school. So listen, because God loves you so much, if you put your hand in front of the seat pocket in front of you, put your hand literally in the seat pocket in front, you'll say, you might find a little bit of a, go on, literally in the seat pocket in front of all the seats down here, put your hand in there, there's a little envelope, and you're going to say to each other, what is this? Because this is a little bit of mid-service sustenance to keep you going. What is this? You can say to each other, this is manna. This is God's kind provision. What is this? What is this? What is this? Now, I'm sorry, that's under the chairs on the side rows. Under the chairs, apparently. So if you're, there's loads of this stuff everywhere. What is that? That's our little reminder. Early on in parenting, you learn to come to church with a box of breadsticks or raisins just to kind of keep everyone quiet. And that's normally for the adults as well as the kids. But there you are. Now, you weren't expecting that. What is this? What is this? It's a bit of food that has been provided for you. Well, God provided for the people of Israel in an amazing way. And yet they still complained and grumbled. It's like, well, thank you for this. But actually, I would have really preferred it to be a jammy dodger. Or a boardman. I'm sorry, like that's what you got. So be grateful. But they kept on complaining. I know it's not quite bread from heaven. It's not a, it's a biscuit from Joe Dealey, but it's still a very, very nice thing to hopefully keep you on your goes. But they don't stop complaining then. So chapter 15, we're thirsty. Chapter 16, we're hungry. Then chapter 17, they complain again. And then do you know what God tells Moses to do? This is really bizarre. He says, take your stick, and there's a rock over there. Now you've wondered, what on earth is that piece of paper on the stage? That is actually a rock, as you know. As I say that, you're suddenly thinking, yes, of course, that's a rock. It is a rock. And what God said to Moses was, strike the rock, take your stick. And the reason the staff is important is because it's not that Moses is really clever and powerful. It's because whenever Moses uses the staff, this is the staff that God gave him to work the wonders that God did. And whenever the staff is being used, this is a reminder that God is using Moses as an instrument to do God's work. He says, strike the rock and water's going to come out. So Moses takes the rock and goes like this. And out there comes a bottle of, this is Brecon water, no less. So let me try that. Look, fresh water that God provided for Moses. Exactly as he said, constantly. You know, it's amazing. We doubt God. We say, God, you can't see what I need. You're not going to provide for me. Yet God consistently provided for the people. It's absolutely wonderful. Every time the people grumble, God shows them grace. God kept on giving Israel all that they would need. Now, you may say, Dave, why are you talking about this? And we're nearly done. We just need to explain. Here's our third point. So what? Whenever you read the Bible, you ask, why are we reading this? So what? So I want you to say after three, so what? But shrugging your shoulders. Okay, 1, 2, 3. So what? Why is this in the Bible? Why are we looking at this today? We're doing it because we are just the same today, and so is God. We're just the same today. We grumble, we complain, we moan, we grumble, we complain, we moan. We forget what God has done for us, all the kind and good things that God gives to us. We forget that he has given us food, biscuits in the middle of a service. I mean, how kind is God to do that? But much more than that, very possibly a nice meal to go home today, clothes, friends to share with, family, homes to live in. He's given us so much, but more than that, he has given us Jesus, the one who's come to save us. He has given us so much. But we complain, we moan, we grumble. And it's not just to mum and dad or our friends. It's to God whenever we complain and grumble. But the fact is, God keeps on giving Israel all that they would need, and he keeps on giving us all that we would need. There's an amazing verse later on in the Bible. We're in the Old Testament today, Exodus chapters 15 to 17. But if you fly several hundred years, a couple of thousand years into the New Testament, you meet Jesus, God's Son who came to earth to save us. And this is what he says. It's John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus, he's just done an amazing miracle, a bit like manna from heaven. But this time he makes bread feed 5,000 people. It's just an amazing gift of God. Very, very generous and kind. And the people grumble and complain. Give us more, give us more. It's not good enough, Jesus. We want better food. And this is what Jesus says. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. In other words, Jesus is saying, it's not bread from heaven that you need. I think it's so ironic that God has arranged for an Englishman to be preaching a sermon entitled Bread from Heaven this very weekend. But it's not bread from heaven that we need. It's wonderful to do well in sport. It's wonderful to do well with our food and our fans and our family and our friends. They're not the things we need. Most of all, we need Jesus. And he says, I'm the bread who's come down from heaven. You need to trust in me. You need to kind of almost take me in like you're eating some food. And feed on me, because even though you've turned away from me, I've run after you in Jesus. And you can see the reason Jesus came is he came to die on the cross to pay for the sins that you and I do, where we say, we don't like it, God. We're not happy with the service you're providing. And instead of ignoring us, he comes to us and says, I love you anyway, and I'm going to forgive you if you trust in Jesus. And after Jesus died, he rose again and offers us new life if we follow him. So what have we seen? We've seen the people of Israel grumbling, ignoring all that God had done. We've seen God showing them grace, giving them exactly what they needed. And we've said, why? Well, because we're the same. We grumble, we complain, but God does the same, giving us grace, giving us Jesus, an offer of a relationship with him.